I can remember because we're an association, we have, a lot of times you're walking into a room with, people that are from every different corporate background, right? And I can remember in my younger days when I was coming into those rooms that somebody would say, please sit at the table, don't sit at the back of the room, please come here and sit with us.
Amazing.
And so I was very lucky and probably didn't have some of the experiences that, others may have had, but I also was lucky enough that there were, some of the CEOs that we were working with took me and mentored me and showed me, how to do different things, how to lead discussions, how to, bring people to consensus. And so those were just some very valuable things that I, I was able to just receive from a lot of our members and people who were in the industry.
Hello from the Equality Lounge at CES. It's January 2020 and we're on location in sunny Las Vegas with our incredible partner Spotify, capturing the stories of female entrepreneurs, executives, inventors, and change makers. I'm your host, Nell Daly, Chief Content Officer of the Female Quotient. If you're just joining us now, I really encourage you to go back and start with episode 1. Throughout this 9-part series, you're going to hear some incredible words of wisdom, what we like to call here at the FQ mentorship in the moment, from some of the most incredible women out there and who came through the doors of CES this year. You're going to walk away feeling totally inspired. You'll walk away knowing there is a community of women out there who are supportive and who deeply understand the challenges we all face as women trying to make it in a particular industry, like technology, that has been historically dominated by men. Our last guest for this show is Karen Chupka. I encourage you all to listen to what she has to say to the very end. Karen's experience working for the CTA is a story filled with hope and promise for women in tech, the perfect note to end the series on. Before we begin, though, I and the entire FQ team want to thank you for listening and virtually being a part of our Equality Lounge at CES, the place where we all belong.
So we wanted to first start this interview with you by saying how thrilled we are to be at CES again, the Female Quotient, and also how excited we were to become the official Equality Partner. And we wanted to ask you, why was that important to you now?
Sure. You know, we're excited to have you guys as our equality partner, too. And you're the first one that we've ever had in this capacity. So it's also awesome from
that
perspective.
Such an honor for us.
You know, I think part of it is because we really appreciate what you're doing here. You know, we love the fact that you bring all kinds of different voices to CES and you give them a place to come and feel connected and to help us connect into the industry. And I think that's, a really great thing. For us, we understand, especially coming to CES for the first time, it could be so overwhelming. And, anything that people can do that helps make it easier for new people to attend or to find benefit in, what's happening, I think is very valuable. And you guys put a great program together and help create that, space where people can kind of come in and get comfortable. And that's always a very nice and welcoming thing when you're, hanging out with 170,000 of your closest friends.
I have never been to CES before. This was my first time. And I walked the floor with, I think there were 250 women that we took the
buses
with.
On day one, right? Yeah.
It was incredible. It was such an amazing experience. We had an amazing woman, I believe from Verizon, who did the tour. And okay. She was so knowledgeable and telling us all about the tech we saw. But I was absolutely overwhelmed in there.
Yeah.
And I was so thankful that I was in this pack of women. Because there are a lot of men, right?
Yes,
there
yes.
are a lot of men. And it did, it created this intimate experience to be able to engage with what was happening around us. And it's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, this sounds so cheesy, but it really was life-changing to see the innovation that's happening all around the world sitting in one place.
It is. And, I think that's the thing too, is it's especially helpful. Like you said, you guys come in and kind of do this tour. And sometimes I think that when people come into the show, because there's just... It's amazing. There's 4,400 exhibitors, right? So there's so much technology to see. And sometimes it is hard for people to understand, okay, how does this relate? Or what are the bigger trends that I'm seeing here? And sometimes I actually laugh because There are times I'm walking the floor and I see so many tour groups on there. I'm like, I think we have more tours now than like Disney World sometimes, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Is that new? Is that new that you're seeing that now, that people are coming in groups and
no, it's probably been happening about the past 5 or 6 years, mm-hmm. and we just see more and more of it, you know? And mm-hmm. I think it's because there's so much changing in technology, mm-hmm. and having somebody that can help curate it and help, you know, connect with what the business purpose is that's valuable to you, I think is really helpful. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we see people coming in and participating in that way. We actually host some tours ourselves. And then, you know, once people kind of get the lay of the land, then they start feeling more comfortable going and doing the things that they, you know, that they need to do. But it's always a great way to kind of enter into something, especially because it can just be so much to see.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to just kind of give praise back to FQ. I'm the chief content officer now here, but I do have to say I started about 4 months ago, and this is my first big show with FQ, okay. Attending from this side of it. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't just one person, 20 people came up to me over the last, you know, couple of days and said, I'm so grateful that the lounge exists, not only to hear the unplugged conversations that we're having around technology, and, you know, equality, racial equality, in the pipeline, how do we drive technology, how do we keep innovating, why it's so important to have different people represented around the table, mm-hmm. why there's a good business case for that, not just a human case.
Right.
All of these wonderful conversations that are very rich that we're having. It also is exactly what you said. It just creates this intimate environment where people can start to develop relationships and know that they can come here and they can get a drink and they can get a little bite to eat in the morning and they can start to sort of plug their day and get organized. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I really appreciate the fact that CES has recognized this and the value that's added. And it's definitely changing my life, the conversations that I've had here in the lounge over the last couple of days. So,
well, that's great. And I think, you know, I think that the great thing too is that there's, you know, there are, I think it's remarkable that there are a lot of women in technology, but sometimes it's hard to connect with them, you know, and I think that, you know, sometimes we tend to be so busy as women, you know, either raising families or dealing with home issues and dealing with work issues that sometimes I don't think we're always the best at networking, right? And so when you have an opportunity like this where you can connect with people and, you know, and have a better, an easier way to meet people, then I think that's really valuable. And, you know, I think that's, again, one of the just nice benefits of having something like this where people can kind of get to know each other a little bit and, you know, and then find maybe, you know, a new mentor or a new business partner or just, you know, somebody that at the next event they may be able to connect with and have a buddy, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm. It is helpful. I already, you know, was texting a few people about going out tonight and saying, I don't want you to walk into that room alone. I'll be there with you. I'll connect with you beforehand. We'll go in together.
Yeah.
Because it can be quite awkward for women.
Yeah.
I've definitely made some friends over here over the last couple of days. So getting back to the technology and the Equality Lounge, what conversations do you want to start to see evolve over the next year, 2 years, 5 years? Where do you see all of this going?
Well, you know, I think some of it is obviously trying to share some best practices as to how do we get, you know, more people engaged in technology and from a diverse, you know, backgrounds. You know, the thing that's, I think, unique about CES is we bring in over 60,000 attendees from outside the United States, too. So we have a really good global perspective here. And it's interesting and important to get all of those voices together. You know, I think the other thing that we also look at is we also work through our foundation with, you know, with disabled community, with technologies for elderly. And so it also is important to have those voices in the conversation, too. And I think, you know, the interesting thing is that technology is able to solve and give great solutions to so many things related to, you know, illness or aging or, you know, elder care. That that the more we just involve everybody, I think, you know, the better all of our lives will be as we age too, and as you know, as we have many generations in workforces now that all have different requirements and needs, and you know, technology can be some of those solutions. We just launched a program with the World Bank where we're actually doing a tech challenge and looking for technology companies to kind of submit for some, you know, helping to solve in healthcare. There's going to be some with gender equality is going to be one of the things that we'll be looking at. And then the third one is in resilience technologies. And what's great with working with World Bank in this is that we're looking to take them into developing nations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's absolutely something that's also, you know, bringing things to people that may not have access to, you know, either technology or schools or healthcare systems or whatever. You know, I mean, not everybody can afford expensive medical equipment. And so some of the technologies that are being built into now, just even cell phones, can do mammograms and can do things that, you know, we would have never thought of years ago.
How long have you been with CTA for?
So I've been there for 30 years.
No way! What an incredibly exciting industry that you got into.
Yeah,
but just, you've just seen massive change.
It has. It has been so changed.
Just must blow your mind every single year.
It is. And it's really interesting and fun to see, you know, some of the new things that are, you know, that come each year, some of the new companies that come each year. You know, and see some of the different ways that technology is really enabling lives and changing lives. And I'm very lucky to be in a position that I am, that I get to see this and do this.
So if we could just talk about you for a second. So Spotify, who we're here with today, obviously really wants people to be able to magnify their message by using their voice. So as a woman in a leadership position in a traditionally male-dominated industry, has it been difficult or easy for you to have a voice?
You know, I was really lucky. I was very lucky that I was always able to kind of have a voice. And, you know, I was always welcomed at the table. And it was...
Why do you think?
I was in a good environment. I mean, our president and CEO has been always very pro-women. And, you know, I mean, we have, I think, 7 direct reports that report to him. I think, like, 3 or 4 of us are women. So it's almost more than 50%. But most of my direct reports are women. I mean, we have a lot of women in the organization. But, you know, I think it was also that, I don't know, for whatever reason, I was also not a shy person. I would speak out, you know, I would speak my
just
mind and give my opinions and my thoughts on things. But, you know, I can remember, because we're an association, we have, you know, a lot of times you're walking into a room with, you know, people that are from every different corporate background, right? And I can remember in my younger days when I was coming into those rooms that somebody would say, please sit at the table. Don't sit at the back of the room. You know, please come here and sit with us.
Amazing.
And so I was very lucky and probably didn't have some of the experiences that, you know, others may have had. But I also was lucky enough that there were, you know, some of the CEOs that we were working with took me and mentored me and showed me, you know, how to do different things, how to lead discussions, how to, you know, bring people to consensus. And so those were just some very valuable things that I, you know, I was able to just receive from a lot of our members and people who were in the industry.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So you've always felt pretty your voice, or you felt like it was heard, it was supported,
absolutely.
It was nurtured.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm going to say a sentence, and I'm hoping you can finish it for me.
Okay.
I use my voice for...
I think for always imagining the impossible.
You've been listening to a podcast produced by The Female Quotient and powered by Spotify. For more information on our mission, please visit thefemalequotient.com or follow us on social at Female Quotient, that is FemaleQuotient on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. And we also wanted to mention that we're hosting the series on Anchor. So cool. Anchor is an amazing free podcast distribution platform. Stay tuned for more equality hacks from the Equality Lounge at CES.